My children went through this church. My youngest son was 3 years old when we moved to Houston. And he went through the Awana class. He went through the middle school thing. He went to Ecuador mission trips and the Happy Feet where they put shoes on people. He learned from all of this. He went through the high school class. My daughters loved this church. I would feel like I'm robbing this church if I didn't give something back. This is what I am to do. I'm obliged to do that. I'm obliged to give to online ministries where I'm learning something. If I'm learning on a regular basis from this, I'm obliged to do this. We are in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, he's speaking with us about how to live in community, how to live practically together, because he's been instructing them in Galatians where he was accused by Judaizers of these Judaizers were coming and saying that you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. They wanted to bring people back under the law. And he gives a number of different reasons why you do not have to go back under the Jewish law in order to be saved. And now he starts, as he's closing out this letter, he starts giving them some practical instruction on how to live together in community. Now, there is no class in the university that will instruct you in this. There's very few people that will instruct you in this. And so this is a treasure that God has given us. Over and over again, he gives us amazing things to give us instruction that we would never hear anywhere else. And he's teaching us how to live in community. And we've covered verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5 all the way through verse 2 of Galatians chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in verse 3 of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Okay, so in verse 3 he says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." So he's talking about how we view ourselves. And remember we talked about it last time that we live on this knife's edge, and you see this Jesus doing this with his disciples. Sometimes they would get too proud and they'd say, "Bring down fire on these people. You want us to call down fire?" And he would have to push them and say, "Nope, you're not, that's not who we are." And then they'd go back the other way, and they didn't realize all that they were in Christ, and he'd have to stand them back up the other way. And so we have this tendency to go back and forth like this. But what God does is he continues to instruct us, and he teaches us that really in ourselves, there really is not much there. So if you look in 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul said, "For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" So he says, in yourself, there's nothing there. Everything we have received. Every good thing in our life, we have received this. If there's any good thing in our life, this is a blessing from God. If there's any bad thing in our life, this is our own corrupt self that has brought this into our lives. So he says in verse 3, he says, "If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." But verse 4 says, "But each one must examine his own work." So he shifts the emphasis from he, the individual, to work. You see, he shifts it to work in verse 4. "But each one must examine his own work, and he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone." Each one has to examine his own work. So if you look in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8, it says, "Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor." Everybody has an individual role in the body of Christ. I urge you, if you are not in a position of serving, to enter a position of serving. We have lots of opportunities in this church where you can serve. So you can't say, well, I didn't really know there was an opportunity. There are plenty of opportunities. We've had several people stand up and talk about the opportunities in this church to teach children, to teach youth, to teach middle schoolers, high schoolers, to work with little kids. If you like working with little babies, want to learn how to do that, you can work all of these sorts of areas. There are other things that you can do. You can come on Wednesday nights, teach the Awanas. You can serve on campus. If you attend a campus group and it would not be affected if you did not show up that night, you're not serving. Serving is in a role where if you don't show up, they're really going to be missing something. So there's that role of service that we need to partake in. And so you see the same thing in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, as believers, we're not going to be undergoing the great white throne judgment. That we bypass because of the blood of Jesus paying the price. But it says we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one will be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You say, well, is that really going to happen? It absolutely will happen. It absolutely will. If something is written here, it has to happen. Everything is going to conform in heaven and on earth to make God's word happen. God's word comes first, and then heaven and earth conform to God's word. Everyone is going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and there will be a judgment for the deeds that we have done. And I'll tell you, your boast is clearly going to be in the Lord. If there's any good thing in our lives, it is all from the Lord. And then he goes to verse 5. So remember, what he's doing is he's teaching us how to live in community. You're living in community. It's not about you. It's not about me and myself anymore. That's what he said in verse 3. If anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. So it's not about me anymore. It is about my labor and my service in the body of Christ. You want to learn to live in community? It's not about me anymore. It is about the community. It is about the body of Christ. And this is what brings fulfillment in life. This is what brings fulfillment. Remember, Satan came to Jesus. He said, everything you see, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He says, everything you see has been given to me. Fall down and worship me, and I'll give it all to you. And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall serve him only. Only in loving God and in serving him will you be fulfilled. You want fulfillment in life? Love God and serve him. Love God and serve him, and you will be fulfilled in life. When you serve in the body of Christ, there is fulfillment. If you feel like my life isn't any good, it's not doing anything, you begin to serve. Begin to serve. Remember, he never takes us in a vacuum. He says, do this. He says, through your service, in verse 4, it's about your own work. And then in verse 5, he says, for each one will bear his own load. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, for each one will bear his own load. Is that in contrast to verse 2, which said, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ? No, that bearing a burden, that burden in the Greek is a burden that must be carried by multiple people. All of us in life get hit with things where we need the body of Christ to come around us, like a big stone that needs several men to move that collectively. Verse 5 is the bear one's own load. That is the typical load that an individual carries. Everybody is expected to carry their own load. You want to live properly in community? You have to carry your own load. There is a burden upon us that we can all carry, and we're to carry that load. Each one has to carry his own burden in this. So if you look in Romans chapter 4, verse 12, it says, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Each one of us. Paul is speaking to believers in the book of Romans. He says, each one of us is to give an account of himself to God. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. There is a burden that we are going to carry. And it would do us well as a society to realize this. Paul goes on to say in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, he says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order." We used to give you this order. This was not a suggestion. He says, "We gave you this instruction, this order." What was the order? "If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." Everybody has to work. Everybody has to work. Some people can work in things where they can work in labor with their hands and with their back. And other people have to do other things according to what a man or a woman can carry. But everyone is to have a role. Everyone is to work. This would do us very well in society to realize this, that nobody should be free from this unless they're absolutely disabled and can't do anything. And then we are obliged as a community, as a society, to take care of them. That's what we do. We take care of our children. We take care of our elderly. That's what we do. But here he's saying that if you can carry a load, you are to carry it. You are to carry it. And it's really amazing. You see that when a person carries their own load, they feel far more fulfilled. They complain much less when they're carrying their own load. And that's what he says in verse 5. You want to live in community? Each one will bear his own load. There's a burden that each one carries, and then there's a burden that collectively we have to carry when things become too difficult for one person. This is all the practical matters. I ask you, have you ever been taught this in any class? Anywhere? There's no class in the university that gives you this kind of instruction. This is what keeps us from pain in life. You get this kind of instruction, it keeps you from pain, and it teaches you. Verse 6, he says, "The one who is taught the word, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him." The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Paul expands on this in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. He says, "The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scriptures say, 'You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing,' and the laborer is worthy of his wages." So he says, people who teach, he says, they should get double honor. And it says especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching, those who are going to take seriously preaching and teaching, he says, are worthy of double honor. Then he says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing." He's quoting the Old Testament. And it's interesting that he tells us in the New Testament, he wasn't just sharing that in the Old Testament. It wasn't just for the ox. He takes an Old Testament scripture. Don't muzzle the ox while he is threshing. Meaning that don't put a muzzle on him so that he let him eat the grain as he's threshing. He can take a mouthful as he's working. He uses that as an object lesson for us in allowing the teachers to make a living through their teaching. You know, think about that. That tells us that we can take scriptures that may look like they're for something and apply them. This is exactly what Paul does. Paul takes an Old Testament scripture where you would never really think about it in the context of a human being teaching, and he applies it in this way. And then he takes another verse, "The laborer is worthy of his wages," and he melds those two together so they start to make sense together. But he says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, "The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him." There are ministries from which I learn. I learn from ministries online. I learn from ministries that sell ministry books. And this is how I learn. This is how I learn. I learn from them. So what do? I support them, not just by buying their materials, by giving them monthly support. This is something that I do. Why do I do this? Because I am obliged to do this. I'm obliged to do this because it says the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. So there are certain ministries through which I grow, through which I get instruction. And personally, I use Messianic Jewish ministries, different ministries among Messianic Jewish community from which to learn. And I learn from that. And so I give them monthly support. That's something that I do. I give monthly support. I give every 2 weeks, I get a paycheck. I give from that paycheck, I give money to my church. I give a tithe to my church. I would feel like I am robbing my local church if I didn't give to them, because I receive instruction. This morning, I was in the early service. I received instruction. It was very good instruction. I learned a lot through that. Terrific warning. Terrific instruction. I should pay for that. It's not free. It says, I am to share all good things with the one who teaches. It says, don't muzzle the ox when he's threshing. The laborer is worthy of his wages. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. I'm obliged to do this. I'm commanded to do this. My children went through this church. My youngest son was 3 years old when we moved to Houston. And he went through the Awana class. He went through the middle school thing. He went to Ecuador mission trips and the Happy Feet where they put shoes on people. He learned from all of this. He went through the high school class. My daughters loved this church. Pastor Roger, who's pastor now, he was the youth pastor 25 years ago. He was the youth pastor. My daughters loved Roger. He was this, you know, this tall, thin kid with a guitar over his back. And that's who he was. And my daughters really loved learning from Roger. And he would put him in a van, and he'd have these van full of kids, and they were really impressed with him. And I've told you this story before. My younger daughter was really impressed because she said, Dad, Roger can drive and spit out the window. But it wasn't just the driver's window. He'd be driving, and he'd put down the passenger window and spit out that one right in front of the person sitting next to him. That's a youth pastor. That's a serious youth pastor. They were so impressed with this guy. I couldn't do that. And Roger could do that. My daughters loved this church and Roger and what they got out of this church. I would feel like I'm robbing this church if I didn't give something back. This is what I am to do. I'm obliged to do that. I'm obliged to give to online ministries where I'm learning something. If I'm learning on a regular basis from this, I'm obliged to do this. This is what it says. You're to give to them, the whole body of Christ. This is the understanding here. You're robbing the church. You're robbing God's people if you're not doing. You say, well, when I stop being a student and I make a real salary, then I'll start giving. That is a lie. I'm just telling you, it's a lie. If you don't give now, you say, well, I don't have much now. Do you have a dollar? I mean, can you sacrifice a cup of Starbucks coffee? That's like $6. You know, can you do that to give something to your church? Because what happens is people often think, well, if I were rich, you know, I'd give half of my income to the church. I'd give 90% and I would live on 10%. I've heard people say that. I'm thinking, you wouldn't. There's no way you would. There's no way. You know how hard that is to do? The more money you make, the harder it is to give. It really is. I've seen it over and over again in people's lives. You learn to give when you have practically nothing. You take that widow's mite. You take what you have and you give something. It's giving back, giving back. And it says they're worthy of double honor and you give back to them. And this is how you live in community. Paul is teaching us how to live in community. He says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. You know, the other thing that happens. So, for example, when Shireen is really blessed by a teaching, she will send a note to that pastor who gave that teaching and saying, I was so blessed by what you said today. Or she'll send a text message to the pastor's wife and she'll say, Roger, it really touched my heart today. So Shireen is sharing some word of encouragement with them, sharing all good things with those who teach. And he's saying that it's especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. It's very hard for a church to grow if they don't have good teaching. Really, it's hard for a church to grow if there's not good teaching. And if there's not good teaching, what will happen is it's like It's like people who are not fed. They stop coming around. I mean, if you're not fed, if there's not something there for them to partake of. And it's very important. It's an important part in the body of Christ, an important part in the church, is to have teaching and to have people who work hard at preaching and teaching, who work hard at it. You know, it is very different to just take, say, some Baptist bulletin or something and say, oh, here's what we have to teach today, and read that. It brings no life. It brings no life. If you haven't poured yourself out over the Word of God, you have nothing of value to teach anyone else. This is how it's done. You take that word. If you know you're going to teach, say, a Bible study on Wednesday, 7 days before that, you start reading the passage every day that you are going to be teaching out of. Read it every day, that passage that you're going to be teaching out of. And say, Lord, speak to me that I would have something to give to these people. Speak to me through this passage. And you'll start reading this passage and you go, there's nothing here. I don't even know what I'm going to say out of this. Trust God. And every day, read it over and over again. Say, Lord, speak to my heart. And all of a sudden, he's going to start speaking to your heart. Some message, something from that passage. Charles Spurgeon puts it this way. It says, when God speaks to you from the passage, it's like a hearty handshake from a friend. You get that grasp and you know, this is my friend. If I have a friend from college, somebody that I was, say, in the discipleship house with years ago, when I see them, my greeting to them is very different than my greeting to somebody that I'm just meeting for the first time. When you've grown up together and that you have that hearty bond, wow, there's an understanding here between you two. This is what he says it's like when God speaks to you. This happens to me all the time. Every week, I know what I'm going to be speaking about in the next passage. So I'm studying this all week, and I'm saying, Lord, what is it you're trying to say? And then it's, Lord, what is it that you have for the people here this week? What is the message that you want brought forth? And then he begins to speak to you. If you've poured yourself out like that all week, he will give you something to say. Some treasure he will bring alive from this. You can get a commentary to give you a lay of the land, what was happening in that time period in Israel and what was going on. But don't depend on a commentary to give you the word for the people. If you just take somebody else's message and you say, well, I'm going to translate this to the people, there's no power. There's no power. Unless God has spoken this to your heart. What I'm telling you is very important because one day you're going to be called upon to teach in Bible study. And it's not, well, I got to teach in Bible study in a few hours. Let me open up the Word of God, see what I'm going to get. You'll have nothing to give. And if by chance, somehow, God is gracious to you and he gives you something to give to those people, you were very fortunate because it won't happen all the time. And it will become a dry teaching and people will see it. It is like Samson when his hair got cut. I mean, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. The power is gone. But if you've poured yourself out all week over that passage and you get to the time where you have to teach from that passage and there is still not that word, you trust God. As you teach it, boom, he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you right there and then as you're teaching to those people, and that will be sometimes your most powerful messages because you think, I had nothing. I had no word there. There was nothing to share. I poured myself out all week and I got nothing. You go in, you be faithful, and God will give you at that very moment, he will give you a teaching that will bless somebody. He'll give you a word, he'll give you a thought, and somebody will come up to you afterward and say, that is exactly what I needed. I was praying that God would give me an answer, and I came here today and I got the answer. And you'd be like, I don't even know what I said. That's God. God does that. That's how faithful he is. It is to the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches it. And when he stresses this teaching, he says that it is for those who work hard at preaching and teaching, those who work hard at it, those who pour themselves out for it. This is what he says. He says, you're to give, you're to do this sort of thing. And then in verse 7, he says, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap from the Spirit, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. That principle of sowing and reaping, and remember, you plant one kernel, you get 1,000 kernels back. You always, always will reap more than what you have sown. You sow iniquity, you will bring iniquity in your life. You sow blessing upon people, you will get blessing overflowing. It'll be pouring into your lap, overflowing. Over and over again, blessing overflowing. This principle of sowing and reaping, he says, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. So when people say, oh, the Bible, come on, that can't be true. Let me tell you something. That Bible, this Bible, the Word of God, we will be dead and gone and totally forgotten, and this Bible will remain. This Word will remain, and every word in it will remain true. Everything in this Word will remain true. We will be forgotten. We will be like wind blowing away chaff. I mean, just gone. There's not even a remembrance of us on this earth. And even the tombstone is worn out. Nothing. No trace of us. This Word will remain. This Word will remain. He says, don't be deceived by these people who speak differently. God is not mocked. When people scoff at God, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. He's going to outlive them all. He's going to outshow them all. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. You sow iniquity, you're going to reap iniquity. You sow problems, you're going to reap problems. You participate in things on campus that are decadent, you're going to reap decadence in your life. You're going to reap it. You're going to reap it in your marriage. You're going to reap it in your relationships. He says, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh reap corruption. What are the fleshly things? He just told us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. He starts with the sexual things, the things that gets us all when we are young, the things that we struggle the most with. He starts with this. He says, you let these things get away with you, get away from you, they'll destroy your life. Then he goes into idolatry and sorcery. You play with the occult, you play with Ouija boards. I'm telling you, it's going to give you nightmares. It's going to keep you up at night. You're going to have to get prayer. You're going to have people have to come around you and pray to get delivered from this stuff. You go messing around with this stuff, it's going to really catch you. Then he says, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. If you don't deal with your anger and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Cry out to God for help with this. Then he says, envying, drunkenness, carousing, drunkenness. This whole thing where we lay down our inhibitions. God has given us. He's given us inhibitions. He's given us things that we know we shouldn't do. You start drinking, you start doing things you know you shouldn't do, you'll start doing it. You start saying things that you know you shouldn't say, and somebody's going to punch you in the face for it. I mean, there are things that happen. There are going to be things that happen as a result of it. And that drunkenness, and then he goes through and he says, and things like these. So along with drunkenness can be smoking sorts of things, drugs, the things that make you lay down your inhibitions. It's going to destroy your life. And that's why he says in chapter 6, he says, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. It's going to bring trouble in your life. I mean, where else are you going to hear this? The Word of God is just treasure. It's just treasure after treasure. Every verse is just blessing dropping into our lives to be able to learn this. He says, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You want blessings in your life? Well, what are the things of the Spirit? He tells us, So he says in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You do this in your life. You start practicing these things in your life, and it's going to reap eternal life. It's going to reap good things. He says you practice joy. You practice love. You practice joy. You practice these things. As a believer, I can't sit here and just stew about things. I can't just sit here and feel sorry for myself. I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed anymore. The Bible has instructed me, you don't have that option anymore. You want to be depressed? Okay, you got 30 seconds. And then get up and get on with your life. You overcome evil with good. You overcome evil by good. Romans 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is how you do it. You overcome evil with good. You do good things. You don't just stop from doing evil. You have to fill that void with doing good. If I sit here and feel sorry for myself, I'll never recover. But if I say, okay, I'm going to get out. The guys are going on some service thing tonight. Let me go with them. I'll tell you, that'll lift you out of your depression. You want to start feeling down about yourself all the time? You get out in some role of service. You want to help meet Shireen in the kitchen. She gets in here at 6:30 on Sundays. Meet her in the kitchen. Help her do kitchen work here on a Sunday. Help you to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Start doing something for other people and you will be blessed. You'll be blessed over and over again when you do things for other people. The happiest person that I know is my wife. I'm telling you, that woman is just bubbling with happiness. She wakes up in the morning happy. I mean, she doesn't wake up, she just wakes up in the morning happy. This one, my wife's birthday just was a few days ago. She has had more parties than anyone you know. Because all these people have parties. Wherever she goes, people are having another celebration for her. She gets, why? I get like no celebrations. She gets so many celebrations. Everybody wants to bless her over and over again. Because that woman is just filled with joy and her life starts in the morning with lists of things she's going to do for people that day. She's just always doing things for people. You fill your life with service and it will bring, it says that it's going to reap eternal life. You fill your life with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You do this thing, it just brings blessing. To those of you who do not know the Lord, I urge you to please give your life to the Lord. Contact me. You got to contact me. That very day, the same day you contact me, the same day we get together, you'll give your life to the Lord. Because you can't take hold of these things without the Lord Jesus in your life. Try. You won't be able to. You'll be good for 5 minutes and you'll be overcome. It's only in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your mercies. Thank you for the grace of God, which draws us to repentance. Lord, thank you for your kindness toward us. Father, I pray that you would bless these young people and watch over them. Thank you for this instruction, this hearty instruction, which teaches us how to live in community. Father, do this in their lives to strengthen their marriages through this, to strengthen their homes, to strengthen them as parents. Do this great work in their lives. And Father, for the unbelievers, Lord, save souls. Oh Lord, if we see souls not saved, what good is it? Save souls, I pray. Turn people to Jesus. And Lord, I commit this to you for the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to give to help out with these podcasts, you can go to jesusandscience.org. All donations are tax deductible. We have no employees in this organization. All the money just goes for the contract work on the production. Thanks so much.